Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking for
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. No guest hosting here. You get the real deal. You get the head man every time. So somebody may write and say, oh, we wouldn't mind a guest. But no, at least for today, it's me and me alone. And because I want to talk to you a little bit about being productive, more productive in your life than you currently are, if you want to. That's the key issue. If you don't believe you should, if you have given yourself a pass, so to speak, or have determined that it's not that important, then this isn't for you. It's because you're content, you're happy, and I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm not trying to sell you anything. There's a saying, I always mess it up, I don't get the rhyme exactly, but a man convinced against his will remains a person unconvinced still. I gave you the gist, but that's not exactly word for word. But I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm trying to equip you if it is something that you would be interested in. And so I published or posted some sayings on Facebook, and I saw that they got quite a rise out of people. Every time we start a new week, I try to post some prayers. So I posted today, Lord, I am not afraid of doing too much, but I am of doing too little. God, help me not to shrink my world to what I want, but to expand it to what you want. God, it's not about me this week. It's about you and your people. My time is yours and theirs. God, my aim is for an extraordinary week after which I can thank you for lives touched and assignments done. And then, Lord, I trust you for time this week to do what is most important to you, not me. Guide my priorities. And, Lord, I have laid out my week. Now interrupt and adjust where necessary. Now, I try to do posts like that every Monday morning, and those aren't idle posts. Those, I'm not trying to impress anybody. Those would be the cry of my heart as I start the week. And for me, I really haven't started on Monday. There's a continuity of my days, but I do think we're better off looking at having a week plan than a to-do daily plan, because a daily plan can get messed up and then you get all out of rhythm and all bummed out. So I generally have an idea of what I want to do for the week, what I'd like to see accomplished during the week. And it's worked for me. As I put in the show description, I will, at the end of this year, have published 70 books. I'm not talking booklets. I have one booklet. The rest of them are 25 to 150,000 word books. They're full books. And then when I started our publishing company, Urban Press, in 2014, yeah, about then, probably, I haven't counted them recently, but probably 60, 65 projects. And so add all those together, and I've got quite a few books that under my belt. These shows. Now, this one, when I scheduled today, I think said this is number 85 for the year. But a couple of years ago, I had shows, I had four other shows on blog radio, and then I had two AM radio shows here locally. Both were on Saturday. One I would pre-record, one I would, for the most part, do live. And so I've done three Facebook Live broadcasts a week during most of the pandemic, sometimes more. I have a ministry app that includes lots of videos that I have recorded over the years with a videographer talking about how to publish and release your creativity and unlock the power of you. So I think I have something to say when it comes to producing things. Now, I'm not saying you have to write or broadcast or do video. I'm just imparting to you general principles so that if you, or maybe you are a writer and this could would be of help to you. Maybe you're a painter. Maybe you're in business and you're looking to open up a new branch or a new office. Maybe you're in ministry and you're looking, you work with children or you work with youth and you're looking to be a bit more productive, a bit more creative, and people have told you when you've taught certain things, oh, that's so good, and you've just taught it once, you haven't thought about somebody recording it. You haven't thought about developing it into a bigger seminar. I don't know how you can use this, but I know you can if you want to. And if you don't, I fully understand, because my 70 books, they're not part of the heavenly Jerusalem. They have not descended from on high. I had to write them one page at a time, one day at a time. Now, every morning of the 6 years' worth of devotionals that I have published, I edit and then go back in and we put those edits, those revisions, those improvements in the books that I have published so that they're always current and they're always improving. Because I will be truthful with you, when I put those daily devotionals out, it was ready, fire, aim. I would put them out. I wouldn't do a lot of proofing because I wanted to get them into the hands of people. I was less concerned about a typo than I was about people's lethargy or their inability to apply the Word of God to their daily lives. So I took a risk in putting some things out there that people could have read and said, you know, gee, this has got a few blurbs in it, a few problems. That was less important to me. You know, if you're drowning, it doesn't matter what color life preserver somebody throws. It shouldn't anyway. You're drowning and somebody throws one. I say, well, I don't like orange. Do you have anything in like a lime green? I'll be back up after I go down for the second time. And let's see what you have. No, this is too green. Anything in blue? No, to a drowning person, they're going to hold on to anything. And that's how I wanted to treat what I was producing. I wanted to get it into the hands of people who needed it, in whose lives God could use it to bring that person closer to Him. So, now, you know, very basically, you know, I'm always making lists. I'm always writing things down. Now, I just don't write them anywhere. I mean, I used to have a Franklin planner, and, you know, every day I would have my to-do list, and there was another page where I could write my notes or jot other things down that I was thinking about so it was never lost. I've done it for so long, I don't need to do that anymore. Right now, I just use an index card. I use a 3x5, and I do it for 2 days at a time. And I put Monday, my to-do list, and then on the right side, I started to build Tuesday's list. And down the middle, between the two, are all the writing projects that I have going on. And so I'm writing down, I write down radio. I write down Facebook Live. I write down walking, because I go for a walk most mornings. I called my sister today. I had her on the list. So all those things are there, always facing me. And then if I have some time, I look in that middle section. Oh yeah, let me go over to this project. I'm going to work for about 45 minutes on this project, and then I'm going to go to that next project, which is grading my class papers. And then that should take me till around 6 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock, I'll make this phone call. And then by then, I will retire to my couch, and I've got two books. that I'm also doing final edits on. So I'm going to work an hour, hour and 15 minutes on each one. And I'm checking these things off as I go. If I don't do them, they're still on the index card, and I look to do them the next day. So one index card for Monday, Tuesday, one 3x5 for Wednesday, Thursday. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday gets a bigger index card, 4x6, or I think it is. And there I do 3 days worth of to-do lists and with my list of books and projects that I'm working on right down the middle. And so that whenever I'm done with some of my other things, I look at that list and say, okay, let's work on this project. Let's work on that. And I do this every day. And I also do carry, when I was out and about before the pandemic, I would carry a notebook, and I have a tablet in that notebook, and I have 3 or 4 sheets. Number one is like a master list of projects, long-term, things that I've thought about doing, things I need to do regularly. And so that's there. Then I have 2 or 3 pages of all the writing projects, some that I'm working on, some that are in the future, some that I've mentioned to somebody, let's collaborate on something. So I'm always studying that master list to see what I need to bring over to the index cards, the master list to my daily list. Then I have a very nice journal. I'm holding it right in my hand. It's folds over. It's got a little red ribbon to mark the pages. And this is where I keep all my creative ideas and notes. And so I write a weekly Monday memo. I have for almost 20 years. I produced number 976 yesterday. So I've got the next 4, 7 mapped out into 2021, and I do a weekly Bible study writing for a commentary I'm doing. So I have those planned out through December the 4th, and this is in my journal. So my point, I've tried to keep this as streamlined as possible. The journal, my index cards, and my master list. Now, these index cards accumulate. So I used to do this when I was sitting on the runway waiting to take off because I couldn't have my computer out. So I go through these cards on a regular basis. Is there anything on these cards that I need to carry forward to do that I didn't get to? And even as we were talking, I was just talking a minute ago, I thought of something. So I am putting it on Tuesday's list to see if there's any way I can get to it. But in the meantime, at some point I'll look through these cards and make sure front and back there's nothing on there that I need that is important information or something I didn't get to that got buried. And if it is, then I either put it on my last master list or I put it on an index card to try and assign a day when I think I can get to it. Now, let me just say one more thing. I do use my smartphone. I use my iPhone for scheduling appointments, but that's really about it. I don't do my to-do lists on the iPhone because I have found I can't go back and forth easily between one day and the other. There are times I will put things on my phone that I do want to go to and remember, but very seldom. Mostly I am working with the pen on the paper of my index cards. And earlier today I did a Monday or a Facebook Live, and I alluded to what I'm going to do on Wednesday. So I wrote it down. I've got it looking right in front of me, and I will keep that on my desk till I get out my Wednesday index card. Then I will put Facebook Live, and I will put in parentheses the topic that I want to talk about. I'm always writing things down. Someone once said, or I read someplace, that when you take mental notes, the problem with taking mental notes is the ink fades so quickly. And I thought, boy, that is so true. And so I don't rely on my memory. Sometimes I do too much. I rely on my memory, and that's where I can forget things. For the most part, I write things down there, and while I'm sitting at my desk, those index cards, those two or three, a couple from the previous days and the one for today and tomorrow, are always before me. And as I said just a minute ago, I thought about some accounting things I needed to do for my business. I didn't have a chance to do those a couple of days ago. I didn't carry them forth onto a new index card, but as we were talking, I flipped through some of my cards, and there it was. So I just bring over. And now that looks like that card is done, so I will discard it so there's no confusion. And even as we're talking, I thought about another thing for tomorrow that I just wrote down. Now, once you write it down, it doesn't bug you. It doesn't keep coming. Don't forget. No, it's down. It's someplace where you're not going to forget it, and it frees your mind from any kind of stressors that, you know, keep screaming, you know, to do this or to do that or don't forget this or don't forget that. So that's very practically what I do. I also work diligently to remove clutter. I have already determined that next week is our Thanksgiving holiday. And while we are putting up our Christmas decorations, which is sort of our tradition, I'm thinking 2 hours. The first, I need to go through my desk. I need to go through my books. I'm looking at a stack of carry cases that I've accumulated over the years, canvas, plastic, vinyl, little small briefcases. I must have 40 of them over there. That's too many. Time for some of them to go. I have a little office off of my office, and looked at that in there today, and have some things. I've accumulated too much stuff. It has to go. My desk, I spend some time every weekend going through what's there, refiling, throwing away what I don't, discarding what I don't need, recycling it, and keeping my desk as much as possible, helping me to focus as opposed to confusing me when I look at it. So those are some practical tips. Now let me talk to you about, in the time remaining, about thinking, our mentals, if we want to be more productive. You're tired of, if you follow me or listen to me or read me, you're tired of me saying that fear is the challenge, but it really is. Why, give you an example, why did I, up till 2006, did I have about 7 books, even though I had been a writer for 11 years? Well, my goal was to write 1 book a year, because I really assumed or thought that that's all the time I really had that's all I could produce. You know, I may have been right. I think back to my travels and my other duties and responsibilities, but in some ways, just hear me out, in some ways that was my goal, because I was afraid I couldn't do anything else. I was afraid to commit to 2 books, because what if I don't make it? And it's going to put too much pressure on me, and I need to be reasonable, and look where I am, and so at some point, and I don't know when, but at some point, maybe 2010, after I had gone through some seminars about how to change my thinking. I know that sounds strange. I had 4 degrees at that point, but my thinking was limiting what I could do and what God could do for me. At some point, I just, well, let me experiment. What if I set a goal to do 2 books a year? And boom, I did it. What if I set the goal to do 3 books a year? And I did it. Because I had overcome my fear, I wasn't obsessing over what I was writing. I mentioned to you earlier about my devotionals. I was committed to get things out. What if I did 4? Could I? Now, in my mind, what if I couldn't do 4? Was anything lost? Was God going to get me? No, I had set the bar too high, but I did it. And then 5, and I have to be truthful, I did not set a goal of 9 books this year. I just took each book one at a time and said, my goal is to get this out as quickly as possible. Now, I've improved the quality. I don't need to proof things as much as I have had with some past works. But even now, when I'm reading on my Facebook Live or on radio, I'll come across a typo. So I just make a note. I send it to my layout person. They go in to Amazon and they update the file so that the next time a person orders that book, the new edit or change will be in there. But my point is, I found a way to do this because I changed my thinking. You change your thinking, you will change your productivity. You will change what you even allow yourself to attempt to do. You know, in a riddle I always present in some of my classes is, what two Olympic sports do the athletes get a gold medal after they have failed three times? You know, people think, but then most times somebody will raise their hand and say, pole vault. I say, that's one. And the other, high jump. So when the field has been brought down to one person, they are the winner. Now they get to set the bar at whatever height they want. And they make three attempts. And if they knock the bar down three times, they've lost, but they win. They still get the gold medal. Now, it used to be that world records were set all the time in those two sports because people were setting the bar. They had nothing to lose. They set the bar high, and suddenly they'd have a good jump, a good vault, and they'd do it, and they would set a new world record, generally a quarter of an inch above what the previous record had been. That's where I am with publishing, and that's where I think you need to be in whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do. Set the bar a little higher, even though you don't have to. Set the bar a little higher. See if you were helping 10 children. Can you help 15? If you're helping 5 orphans, can you help 7? If you've used your hospitality gift and you had a tea a month to bring people together, probably before the pandemic, can you now do, 14 a year? Increase it by 2. How high can you set the bar? Because there's a chance your thinking is not your capability that's limiting you. It's your thinking that's limiting you. And that's what I have. That's the principle that I have tried to apply in my life, especially over the last 20 years. Now, I just shared on a Facebook Live how I change my thinking. It's not enough to memorize scripture. You can memorize, I can do all things through Christ and do nothing. You can memorize, God has not given us a spirit of fear, be terrified. What you have to do is, God has not given me a spirit of fear. You have to identify where you're afraid, and now you have to change your thinking. That's how you used to be. But now I am a confident minister in front, or a speaker in front of large audiences. And your mind said, no, you're not. You're lying. Said, no, that's how I used to be. I am now replacing my fear with a new thought. And I have, and I'm holding, and we're going to wrap up here, about a dozen and a half index cards where I have written affirmations that I go over regularly, because they are addressing old thoughts that I have. Now, here's one I just looked at. I am a broadcaster and publisher of inspirational books and programs. Present tense, not I hope to be, not I will be, not by God's grace. I am. Now, it's in Him that I live and move and have my being. I don't have to say God did this after each thing I do, because I know God did it. But here I am, a broadcaster and publisher of inspirational books and programs. I wrote that probably in 2010, and since then have done 500 or 600 blog radios, shows. I have done countless videos. I've done this year 80-some Facebook Live, 30-minute broadcasts. But see, I changed my thinking. So now when I see an opportunity to do that, that's consistent with who I see myself to be. There's no fear. There's no obstacle between me and the opportunity. And so I am a teacher under whom others seek to study. Now that's an affirmation, and it's come true. That's who I am. That affirmation, my accepting that has caused me to, you know, study. To God has brought things to me that I needed to know, and ways that I can impart what I know, so that people would seek me to study. I organize outstanding trips and events through which people learn and grow. Take people to Israel, planning March 2022, planning on taking people to Kenya February 2022. I manage multiple worlds with efficiency and ease. Do you hear the present tense? The putting that thought in my mind because I had worked to put another thought in my mind. Oh, this may not work. This is got to be careful. Don't get ahead of the Lord. No, I manage multiple worlds with efficiency and ease. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. I lead and energize one of Africa's most generous and effective relief agencies. Now, this is a work in progress. But during the pandemic, when fear could have said, people aren't giving, be careful, pull back in. No, I started to put things out there. I am raising money, $50,000, for the Dr. Stanko Academy because we need to buy property and move from where we are. And I've raised $27,000. In addition to raising $3,000 a month for the daily needs of the partners and orphans that we have. Why? Because I change my thinking. And now, you say, well, God did that. Of course he did it. But because my thinking is this is what I do, I put it on Facebook. I don't know how God's going to do it. And every month he does it. Because there's no fear. Well, what are people going to think? What if you don't make it? What if you overpromise? You're going to look like an idiot. No, no fear. So I have financial goals. I won't share those with you. They're personal. Let's see. I had a fun one. I put, I am a black belt facilitator. When I facilitate a conference or a workshop or a seminar, I have great skill. I have fun doing it. I'm not uptight. I'm not afraid. I had an affirmation about my son being in business with me 2006, and in 2014 we went into publishing business together. I visualized it. I saw it, and I could go on. I've only gone through 3 or 4 index cards, and I've got about 14 or 15 more, front and back, with affirmations that are replacing fear thoughts that I once had with thoughts that release energy that in both me and those around me and put me in tune with the resources I need. I'll close with this. I have a goal to write collaborate on a book about the era between Malachi and Matthew, what's called the Apocryphal, Between the Testaments. So I'm going through my books the other day to throw some books out. I have too many to not throw them out, but to discard them, give them to a charity. And I find this little book, can't be 100 pages, Between the Testaments, and it is everything, exactly what I need to go on to the next step with this project. That was sitting right on my bookshelf, and God showed it to me. And that's the dynamic that I want to release and being more productive for the Lord. Well, that's about it for today. We'll come back again soon and we'll talk more about how you can be more productive in the Lord. But right now, this is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose, signing off. Until we're together again, you make sure you're about the work of purpose in your life. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.